Good evening, everybody. It's a download here on WGN. And I'm Justin Kaufman with you for a real quick hour here before Patty Vasquez takes over. Tough break. The Blackhawks lose tonight to the Tampa Bay Lightning. That's okay. It's okay to lose. We'll talk with Scott King tonight. He's the man. He's the co-host of Blackhawks Crazy and the WGN Plus. It's a podcast. We're going to talk to him about whether or not this team, this 2015-2016 Blackhawks squad, is better than last year, maybe even rivaling some of the teams from before. We'll talk to Scott about what we need to know about what makes this team special and whether or not those are fair comparisons. He'll be on coming up after the news at 10:30. Also tonight, we got a this is awesome. Stand-up comedian Eddie Griffin is going to join us. Of course, Eddie Griffin from Malcolm and Eddie. We were talking about it last night, the great sitcom, and of course, Undercover Brother. And he's part of the Comedy Get Down, which is going to be at the United Center on Saturday, which is with Cedric the Entertainer, D.L. Hughley, George Lopez, and several others, and Eddie Griffin. It's amazing all these guys coming together for one tour. It's sort of like in the same vein as the Kings of Comedy from before, the one that Bernie Mac and Steve Harvey did. Eddie Griffin's going to talk to us about why they decided to do this tour this way. He's coming up after the break here before the news. So a lot to get to tonight in a very short amount of time. So why don't we start with the carryout, of course. This is the nightly segment where I read the newspaper. So you at home, you don't have to. Here are today's top stories. Governor Rauner held a press conference to say that he and Senate President John Cullerton are best buds. Yet they're going to vacation together and they're going to drink really expensive wine together. Cue sad Rom in the corner. Cue the trombone. No, Rauner said that the two had agreed on a pension deal. Hey, how about that? Well, then the obvious happened. Cullerton came out and said, there's no such deal. I'm not your buddy. I'm not bunking with you on the next camping trip, but I will take that wine. Sweet, rich wine. All this because Rauner liked Cullerton's plan, but modified it just a little bit. Just a little. Removing collective bargaining. So... we're back to square one. This, of course, on the heel of yesterday's big announcement that the mayor has failed and the state should take over Chicago public schools, which today we've seen analysts from analysis from the Tribune saying suburban taxpayers are fed up with the fact that fat cat Chicago machine Democrats are feeding from the trough. Then the Chicago Reader said, no, this is really about Rauner wanting to funnel money and contracts to his people and rip up the contracts of his enemies, i.e. the teachers union. And the Chicago Sun-Times, Neil Steinberg got into it, and he said, why do we even have a governor? Because this one has just decided to break the state to see what happens. My analysis, the Download's analysis, this is like one big gang fight. Like the scene from Anchorman where all the rival newscasters fight to the death. Hey, Brick killed a guy. Suburban Republicans, Chicago Machine Democrats, progressive liberals, pro-business folksy for hire types. We got them all. So I don't know about you, but I'm going to grab a beer, get some microwave popcorn, sit back, and watch this whole thing unfold from my new home in my new state, Michigan. I've heard they had really tasty water. What? All right, what else is in the news? Sarah Palin blamed President Obama for her son's domestic abuser. All right, you know what? Pass. That's a pass. That's finally. Should have done that from the get-go, media. That's a dumb story. A new Time magazine poll released tonight says that Bernie Sanders has surged ahead of Hillary Clinton by 8 points in Iowa. When reached for comment, Bernie Sanders said, huh? Hello? Hello? Who's on the phone? Who is this? Did I win Publisher Clearinghouse? Hello? I can hear you breathing. That's my Bernie Sanders I'm working on. I don't know if you guys like it. You can let me know. I'm workshopping it. Still a long way to go. A lot long primary season. Hello? A new study says that the worst passwords for 2015 were Star Wars and 123456. Which means it's time to play Let Me Guess Your Password. The contestant tonight is, of course, Pete Zimmerman. Pete, okay. What's your favorite movie?
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
And you got a pet?
Yeah.
Are you a dash guy or a pound sign guy?
Pound sign.
Okay. Is your password Star Wars?
Yes.
Yes, hey! There we go! Another installment of Let Me Guess Your Password! Who does a password Star Wars? Oh, I just watched that trailer. I think I'll go with Star Wars. And then when it's time to like change it, they're like Star Wars 1, Star Wars 2, Star Wars 3, Kylo Ren 4. Come on. In weather, not as cold today, but now it's time for Blizzard Watch to take over the news. But it's really just a Blizzard Watch for the East Coast, for the D.C. area. But we all have to suffer through blizzard stories in our feed like it's the only weather happening anywhere ever. There's more coverage of a snowstorm that hasn't happened yet than hurricanes that kill hundreds of people. I wonder what the new technology is going to be this year, though. They always seem to come up with something new, right? CNN's got the Blizzard Cam or the Blizzard Van. This year, I say it's going to be Blizzard virtual reality. They're going to make you feel like you're in the storm, right? They're going to blow like moisture through your speakers, ruin your carpet. And be like, see what it's like to ruin your carpet? And Don Lemon will be going, and you'll feel it. You'll feel it on the other side. That's my guess to the new technology for CNN. In sports, the Hawks lose. I say blow up the team. They just don't have the pieces. It's obvious. Trade them all. Coach Q, more like Coach PU, 312-981-7200. This is terrible. The Hawks lose. Trade them all. Get rid of them. Cubs picked up a new clubhouse mascot today. Munenori Kawasaki was signed to a minor league contract. This guy's a fun guy on the Toronto Blue Jays, right? He's a fun guy. He dances. He waves his hands in the air. He's kind of like an Asian Ozzie Guillen, right? That's his thing. He replaces Jonathan Herrera, who was the guy who had the hat with the hands on it. You got to have one. You can't have two of those guys. You can only have one. So he replaces. He's going to be the fun guy that Chicago Cubs fans find a way to be racist to. Right, you know, it's always out of good fit. It's good humor, and then they're like, "Oh, this is fun." Then they start, and it goes a little too far. Then the T-shirt vendors outside, it's something that's just a little off-putting and a little racist. And next thing you know, no one's comfortable playing at Wrigley Field, and you're like, "Okay." But this means more, Pete. You're the resident Cubs fan. This means something. You think this means something bigger?
Well, there has been rumor and speculation on the internet today that this may be the first piece of a deal down the line, perhaps involving Javi Baez, maybe getting rid of him for a trade for him for someone else. Mm-hmm. And then since they'll lose Baez, now they have a backup utility infielder for, you know, Russell and Zobrist. And
okay, well, meh.
I just want him to be the mascot.
He's going to be. I just think they should do like a seventh inning thing at Wrigley where they're like, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Kawasaki. And he comes out and does just a new comedy bit every seventh inning. That's what they replaced the Harry Carey seventh inning stretch with, Kawasaki doing a dance. If you go on YouTube, and I saw Bleacher Report had a nice thing today, it was just all about Bleacher Nation. Like everything was about the videos, the YouTube videos of him in
antics.
Toronto.
Yeah.
So we'll check it out. All right. And finally tonight, a Wisconsin girl froze to death after leaving a party dressed only in a tank top, shorts, and fishnets in negative 25 degree weather. This was just last week. Weathermen have been put on alert to recheck the timing of their summer light, loose clothing tips, fearing the rollout may have been affected by climate change. Yeah. Maybe do that one in July, not necessarily January. All right, that's the carryout for January 21st, 2016. Hey, we're thinking about starting delivery. I mean, do you like to wait over an hour and a half to get cold food? Hey, then you're going to love us. We're going to be great. All right, coming up, Eddie Griffin's going to join us. We're talking about his big show at the United Center on Saturday night. And then after the break, Scott King's going to talk about the Blackhawks. Is this team, this year's team, better than the team we saw last year? We'll talk about it tonight on The Download. Stay with us. Coming up next week, the Comedy Get Down Tour will take over the United Center. The stand-up showcase features some of the biggest names working today, Cedric the Entertainer, George Lopez, and my next guest, Eddie Griffin. Griffin has been doing stand-up for years. He's been a star of his own movies and his sitcom, Malcolm and Eddie, one of my faves. Eddie Griffin is on the line with us now. Thanks for joining us, Mr. Griffin.
What's going on, Mr. Kaufman?
Let's talk about this tour. How do you get all this talent together for one show?
Only Richard Pryor could pull that off. Last year, we did a benefit show in Richard's hometown of Peoria, Illinois. And it was to raise money for the 10-foot-tall brass statue that is there now in honor of Richard. So at the end of the show, we all hung out, you know, cracking jokes, you know, having a few drinks. And Mr. Lopez said, y'all want to take the show on tour? Everybody agreed, and we've been on tour for the last year now.
Now, let me ask you, like a show like this, I mean, it's different than, you know, like in your life and in the past, you've done shows where it's every other night and you've toured the country in different stand-up clubs. This is a different kind of tour where you play in huge arenas, but you space it out a little bit differently. How does touring change with age?
Not at all. You're just a little wiser. And, you know, you don't do partake in the stupidity, you know, between the show.
Why, you know, it's interesting about this group because it's a mega group. I mean, you're a headliner at this point. A lot of the other people are headliners. I mean, they put this stuff together.
Every last one of us on the show.
Yeah, right. Everyone,
myself, Charlie Murphy, George Lopez, D.L. Hughley, Seth the Entertainer. We've all been in the game 20-plus years.
Right. So I mean, as a group thing, and it's great to go together. I mean, and that's a fun thing to go out on tour together. But, I mean, at a certain point, does it become tougher because you're dealing with so many different schedules? I mean, obviously, you guys are huge names in showbiz. To be able to put together a continuous tour?
Not at all. No, we've already booked this entire year. It's already booked up. You know, in September, we take it overseas. You know, it's a world tour. We're going to Africa. We're going to Dubai and London, Germany, you know.
How do you find time to balance the other parts of your career, the idea of writing or getting back into television and movies when you guys are constantly on tour together?
That's why you have those people called agents. They do for getting on the phone with each other and putting it all together. Well, we don't have to worry about that. All we have to worry about is showing up, grabbing mic, and entertaining.
For you, I mean, how much of this tour is new material as opposed to some of the stuff you've put out before?
100%.
It's great because, you know, some of the, like, the last tour you had, I mean, you'll touch everything, race, religion, politics. How important is it for you and your set to be able to take on some of the topics that might be a little bit touchy or sensitive for an audience?
I don't want to touch it unless it is touchy and sensitive. You know what I mean? I think the problem with the world right now, which is why it looks like it's trying to flush itself down the toilet, everybody's taking itself too serious. I mean, if you think about it, if you live to be 200 years, there's a blink of an eye in the real time table of how long Earth itself has been around and man has been around. So enjoy it. Instead of worrying about, you know, who's Donald Trump, let it all go. Laugh at it. Keep it moving.
To do this, I mean, obviously stand-up is writing, creating new material. For you, you've written your own specials. You've written movies. You wrote episodes of Malcolm and Eddie. Do you see yourself moving back into that realm to put, you know, put more on the big screen, more on television?
Most definitely, yeah. Yeah, I have a new show in the works. We actually take the pilot next week.
How is it? I mean, for you, I mean, you've done so much in this business. You've accomplished so much. How do you feel like in Hollywood right now from a standpoint of getting work done or being able to get projects off the ground? Is it become easier as you get more successful and famous?
I think it's over time, and, you know, it's more about relationships, you know what I mean? 9 times out of 10, it's not what you know, it's who you know. You know what I mean? If you've been in a game like I have for 30 years, you know, pretty much everybody knows you, you know everybody. So it's just coming up with the right product. You know what I mean? That fits your brand rather than sticking your brand into somebody else's product, and it really doesn't work out.
I mean, for you as a stand-up comic, now you're talking about brands. I mean, you've gone from artist to businessman in the sense that you have become your own brand and you've developed your own style. When you look back at starting in this game, I mean, is it kind of fun to think back that now you're thinking about your brand?
I was quite a stupid young man, yeah. You know what I mean? I didn't have an idea what the hell a brand was. You know, brand was Coca-Cola.
Right.
And then the other brand was 7-Up. You know, so I didn't have a clue, man. I was just having fun, you know what I mean? And just exercising, as you said, my artistic, you know, abilities. You know, but then, you know, the next thing you know, you have children. You send them off to college, so on and so forth. So, you know, you have to really just look at it for what it is, a business, That's why it's called show business. There's only four letters in the word show.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot more in the word business. So you better have your business together. Otherwise, you have no business doing the show.
You know, what can we expect from the comedy Get Down at the United Center on the 23rd?
Man, y'all can expect to laugh until it hurts. I'm talking about your ribs are going to get a workout. You know, when you leave, all five of us, literally, you're holding your ribs walking to the car, and you're still saying, I can't believe he said that.
Stand-up comedian Eddie Griffin, he's going to be at the United Center on the 23rd with the Comedy Get Down Tour. Eddie, thanks so much for taking some time out to talk to us tonight.
No problem, man. See y'all at the show.
The story came in later than the time that we did the carryout at the beginning, but it was just announced that Avatar 2 is going to be delayed to Christmas 2017. Let's all take a moment of silence for the wasted time that story I just talked.
Yeah, you know, it's pretty interesting because also breaking, Justin.
Yeah.
Episode 8 of Star Wars. I'm assuming that's 8. VIII, right?
Yeah.
That's 8.
Yeah.
That's also going to be delayed. What are we going to do?
I just think it's great that we're talking about movies that are 2 years from now. It's going to be delayed. It's going to be production shortage, you know? Like, it's not going to be in the fall of 2017. It's going to be the winter of 2017. What are we going to do? Like, we have nothing. Like, we're waiting for these movies. Like, I have no reason to live until Star Wars 8 comes out.
We'll have a few more ride-alongs. 3 and 4 will probably be out before.
Yeah, as long as they don't give me that news that ride-along 3 and 4 have been delayed.
Where are we at in Fast and Furious?
Well, can they do anymore? They can't do anymore, right? We can't do any Fast and Furiouses anymore because the lead guy died.
Yeah, but you can bring him back as like a hologram.
Yeah, right. I think they did. It took me a while. I'm out of the loop on the Fast and Furiouses, but there's, you know, the song that was up for the Golden Globe and the Grammys, Wiz Khalifa song. I saw the video for it one time. It was on like TV, and it was they hologrammed the guy. I forgot the guy's name. The guy who died, the lead guy,
Paul Walker. Yeah,
they kind of hologrammed him in the video, like, hey, and the song's just all about that. And I'm like, just making stuff up. Like, his car goes one way and Vin Diesel's goes the other. And I'm like, is this from the movie? Is this like the old 80s way they did videos where you'd show clips from the video, from the movie in the video? But no, this was like for the video. And I was like, all right.
They're on 8, by the way.
They are. Oh, Fast and Furious 8. Delayed until 2017. I don't know. All right. Let's go check. Scott King's here. We're going to talk Blackhawks when we come back after the news. It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Until 11 o'clock tonight, a real quick download before Patty Vasquez takes over. You know, we talked about earlier, you know, how I think we should just blow this team up. The Blackhawks, I mean, they lose tonight to the Lightning 2-1. I've been saying it for the last couple of weeks. You just got to start over. There's just something wrong with this team. No, they lose their first. I think Judd said it was the first since November 27th or something like that. It was like the first loss that they've had.
December 27th. First
December
loss.
27th.
Yeah.
Still, either way, man, that's 2015. That's crazy.
Yeah. So, last year.
I know, right? I mean, it's pretty great. Joining us tonight in studio, Scott King, we're going to talk about, he does the Blackhawks Crazy blog and podcast at WGNradio.com. And he co-hosts that with Mike Jacobson. He's here. Thanks. It's good to see you.
Thanks for having me, man.
No, thanks for coming to talk. You know, one of my New Year's resolutions is to become a better Hawks fan. And because I really ramp it up for the playoffs like everybody does in Chicago, right?
Right.
But I feel like I need to do a better job of being a regular season Blackhawks fan.
You know, it's the regular season that gets you in a good position in the playoffs, you know, maybe get easier opponents. And hey, I think they've won a few championships, so it's time to start early now.
Yeah, right. And you know, I felt good in a way that I knew who the Tampa Bay Lightning were.
That is good.
I was good. I'm like, I know this team. We beat them last year. But talk about this because, you know, they went on the road. They lost the game. Okay. It happens. It's the you know, they weren't able to pull 13 in a row. But you argue that this team may actually be better than the team that won the Stanley Cup last year.
Yeah, I wrote a blog about it. Everyone can check out on facebook.com/Blackhawks Crazy. And, you know, even though it was snapped tonight, they didn't get to 13 games. They still had a franchise best 12-game winning streak. And it was actually when they won number 11, I believe, Sunday in Montreal. What gave me the idea to write this is the coach of the Canadiens, I believe his name's Therrien. He said, you know, we just played the Stanley Cup champs, and I think they're a better team than last year.
Wow.
So when you hear another coach, especially a franchise like the Canadiens in Canada, say that, I had kind of thought that too. When you're watching this winning streak and you see how everyone's kind of fitting a role and doing their part and all four lines are really rolling, something they didn't have tonight, unfortunately. So what I did in the blog is I just kind of broke down position by position, line by line, all the D pairings. And Crawford has laser-sharp focus this year. He looks unbeatable. He kept them in the game tonight, even though the Hawks didn't really have much going on. So
yeah, you're right. Last year, there was some consternation around Corey Crawford, like at one point when Scott Darling kind of came in, and they were like, maybe Crawford, you know, we won't see him next year. I mean, he's played lights out this season.
I was someone saying it. I'm always someone defending him because I think he's always got the ability there, and he always battles back and keeps them in games. But you had that goalie battle with Antti Raanta and Darling when Crawford goes to a concert and
fell down his foot.
And those guys look really good, and that pushed Darling, that made him really good last year. One of the things I actually didn't get to in the blog that I think is maybe it's not that big of a factor, but a way that they're not as good this year maybe is Darling hasn't really gotten that confidence yet, I don't think, because when he has played, it was earlier in the season and they had a lot of holes on D.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, and I also think it's the first line with Brandon Saad. We miss him a lot this year in Chicago. They were better, even though Andrew Shaw's given them a ton of energy on that first line now. I think Saad was a better player.
Well, let me ask you that, because after the storyline that was all summer long was this is going to be the year that the Hawks are going to have to dump salary. They're going to have to – this is going to be a totally different team. This may be the last time the window is closing for them because, you know, they have so many players that are going to need to sign. So we saw trade after trade after trade. They were not supposed to be like this.
Exactly. We're not even supposed to be having this discussion right now. And I think it was mainly because people are so scared because of what happened in 2010, where literally almost the entire team was dismantled. And, hey, it looks like you kept the right guys because they won another two Stanley Cups in just a few seasons. So, yeah, I understand the worry. And you're wondering what's going to happen when you have to shed that much salary. And you don't know who's going to come here if you're wasting money, if guys are going to play well in the AHL and make the most of their opportunities. And that's exactly what's happened is these guys are getting shots from the AHL. Like Gustafson's been a fantastic defenseman. And he's a big reason they're better than they were, I think.
Let me ask you about that, because defense obviously has always been a big part of the Hawks. I mean, Duncan Keith and company. But how is the defense this year? I mean, Corey Crawford is lights out in goal, but how are the defensemen in front of him?
Yeah, they had trouble getting the right guys in the beginning, but I think they've been playing lights out. And I think that helped give Crawford a lot of confidence. And you just see, like, the sequences of saves he's making, like athletic save after athletic save, desperation saves, and he's able to do it because he's had a really good defense lately. You have obviously Keith and Seabrook, but like I said, a young guy in Gustafson, and TVR is healthy again, who was a rookie last year. He got hurt for a long time, but he was able to win the cup, come back and get his name on it. So I think all those guys look good. Even Roosevelt, and when Scuderi's in there, they look okay too. The veterans have been pretty solid.
Let's talk about some of the new faces for the Hawks. You know, they've seen some, I think that's what it is, you know, to lose Sharp and lose some other players, Brandon Saad, like you think who's going to take their place, but the bread man is definitely making his name here in Chicago.
And I'm a big fan of that nickname. It's simple. It's hilarious. Who doesn't love Panera?
We're trying to figure out a better one here, like this bowl, bread bowl, like we were trying, but bread man.
It's hard to be bread man. Yeah, it's so simple and flows off the tongue, Justin. No, it's when I heard that they got those Russian guys in the offseason, you sign Panarin and you get Anisimov from Columbus in the Saad trade, and lo and behold, you have the best line in the NHL with the two Russians and Kane. Panarin's basically been the Russian Patrick Kane. Those guys complement each other so well.
Did we know that during it? I mean, did we know that in the offseason when the guys are coming in?
People were excited. I think I tweeted. I don't know. I was actually trying to look it up to pat myself on the back, but I know I said on some form of social media that I thought they could be better just bringing in those Russian guys alone. Finally, Kane has guys to play with. You know, didn't quite work out last year with Richards as a center until late in the playoffs, and guys like Versteeg were trying to play on that line too. It didn't really work out. So they're on fire. They've been on fire. They even got on the board tonight.
All right, well, let's take a break. And when we come back, more with Scott King, Blackhawks Crazy, the blog and podcast co-hosted and co-written with Mike Jacobson here at WGNRadio.com. Let's talk more about the comparisons of this team, which is really hard to do, I think, in the middle of the season because, you know, they could flare out and lose a first-round playoff right. and be like, well, they were nothing.
Yeah.
But right now, breaking records, doing exactly what, you know, they picking up where they left off. Are they better than last year's team? And even, you know, we can go even further to some of the teams that won cups in earlier aughts.
Sure.
We'll do that when we come back here on The Download. Stay with us. Talking Blackhawks tonight here on The Download. Scott King, Blackhawks Crazy, the blog and podcast at WGNRadio.com. Alongside Mike Jacobson in the WGN Sports Department here. You know, it's funny because I say that I'm a novice. It's funny. 773 just texted in. They said with the Hawks loss tonight, the 96 Bulls record is now safe.
Well, he's right. It's a true statement.
And then he hashtags hockey novice. He's right. Right. But I will say, I mean, for our the hockey novices out there, myself included, and I am working to fix that. It is amazing to have a 12-game winning streak.
Yeah, it is. And to play at that high a level with that kind of energy, we were talking before the show, I think maybe that's one of the things that contributed to the loss tonight is how long can you keep that energy up, perform at that level? I mean, maybe they could beat the NHL's record, which was 17, if someone didn't oversleep and get punched tonight and throw the
whole
rotation
off. That's sort of like the side story tonight.
It is, and it matters. I heard Judd talking about it on the post-game show. It definitely matters, yeah.
So one of the Hawks, Panic, was it?
Panic, yeah. Panic. His name is spelled Panic, but it's pronounced Panic.
Panic.
Yeah.
Overslept, missed the shoot-around this morning.
He was late for the morning skate, and that puts Quenneville and the team in a real awkward position because, you know, they're the Blackhawks. You're not supposed to tolerate this kind of thing, so it kind of forces his hand and has to scratch him for the game, and that throws the whole lineup off.
Does Coach Q seems to have a pretty short leash because just reading about Brian Bickell. Bickell, of course, one of the stars of the Hawks, or at least a name. At least
he certainly was.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. At least a name that we would recognize has gotten the doghouse and is I don't even know where he's at right now in the AHL.
He's in the AHL playing for the Rockford IceHogs for the second time this year is where he's at. It's a real unfortunate story and an incident because that's a guy who was up for the MVP in his 2013 playoffs.
Right.
He was talked about maybe third in people's eyes for the Conn Smythe Trophy, and now he's in Rockford and he wants out. His agent's saying they're trying to get him somewhere else, and I don't know if that's going to happen. That's a big salary.
Why? Why? I mean, is he have deteriorating skills? Like, what is it about Bickell that he can't even stay on the team?
It's really tough to say. And, you know, Quenneville does kind of punch him in a way, either being scratched from the lineup when he's in Chicago or sends him to the AHL and then he comes back. And he has limited minutes, so it's hard to kind of show what you can do in those minutes. But they're looking for him to be more physical, to score goals. He's got good hands. He has a good wrist shot. Just not things they're seeing out of him that they want to see. It's been bad.
Let me ask you, because maybe can Bickell be a piece of, you know, it always seems like the Blackhawks, as they get later into these seasons, they make trades and big moves to bring veterans in for the playoff
run.
Great
point, yeah.
I mean, is that something we might see where Bickell just doesn't fit with this team and that might be the way that we are able to get a veteran to come in and help for the run?
It's a good question because that's, in my eyes, that's actually why they won the Cup last year is you bring in Desjardins and Vermette moves.
Right,
the trade
Vermette
deadline.
Was huge, right?
Vermette was a great veteran, was huge deep in the playoffs when they needed him. But I think that with Bickell, you need to package another guy. And the reports being that they want some of the Hawks' top guys, like Teravainen, who's been great in the lineup, and Gustafson, who we already talked about. It's hard to make the right deal happen for Bickell because he's already a big asking price. I think $4 million cap hit. Or actually maybe $6
million. He's got more next year.
Yeah. So it's tough to think about if a deal like that is going to happen or not. It doesn't look good.
Yeah. Well, you know, I know Dallas is having a great year, right? They're the team.
They had a real great start.
They had a great start. Yeah. And, you know, they beat the Hawks, and we got to see Sharpie running around, and I think he scored a goal in that game.
Yeah.
But let's talk about who are the competitors for the Hawks, you know, as they get ready for playoff time.
Yeah, they were kind of fighting it out with Minnesota and St. Louis in the standings. And, you know, now the Hawks are sitting with 68 points, I believe, before the game tonight. I don't think Dallas played, but Dallas is five behind them with 63.
Wow.
And then you have St. Louis and Minnesota slugging it out. So it's those teams, and they play St. Louis on Sunday. Obviously a tough physical team, and they've got some guys who could score. So, you know, we'll see what they can do.
All right, let me ask you a question. I asked Pete this question right beforehand. It's Scott's coming out. We got to ask him this, and we both kind of shrugged our shoulders. Are the Hawks a tough team? Are they a kind of team, like, I think of Blackhawks or even hockey lore, and I think of the teams that had those kind of sort of like goons that came off the bench and just fought.
Yeah.
Did the Hawks play that kind of hockey? Is hockey even played that way anymore?
No, that's what I was going to say. That's not really a part of the game anymore. That's why you had people making such a big deal about John Scott being voted to the All-Star
right.
team,
who's
actually a very nice guy and very funny, and, you know, he plays hard. He doesn't have the skill of a Patrick Kane, but they opened the voting and people voted for him. But anyways, it seems like the years that people say the Hawks aren't big enough or they're not tough enough, those are years they win a cup. So it's, you know, they got fast guys who are really skilled, so
but there really
it doesn't
isn't
always
that,
matter.
And that's we're past the age of having a guy on every team that just goes out there to fight the star.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's not going to happen.
And that was a big deal a couple of years ago. That was that there was a lot of people calling for the end of that because it would just be like
it's still a very
fight,
minor man. Part of the game. You still see you'll see a couple fights every night when there's a lot of games. But I remember last year they had a great 7-game series with the Ducks, and Ryan Kessler was saying, like, we're hitting them hard, we're hitting them a lot. This is going to take its toll soon, and it never did. The Hawks won that series and they won a cup.
So okay, so looking, I mean, there's still a lot of hockey to play. We're coming up on the All-Star break here. After the All-Star break, you know, a Coach Q coach team, are they a team that does better as they get closer to the playoffs, or, you know, because they've ebbed and flowed. I've known them for the hockey, or, you know, just in the short history, the recent history of having one way where they're like on their way up, and then there's another where they're on their way down. But obviously what happens in the playoffs are a different story. But
yeah, except for maybe two of the last few years, if they don't win the cup, they still get pretty deep in the playoffs. They're a team designed to win the Stanley Cup, and that's why maybe you can kind of question, are some guys taking nights off? Certainly hasn't looked like it with this winning streak. But they're designed to win in the playoffs and win the cup, and I think you see them go to another level once it starts.
What stops a team? We didn't even mention Jonathan Toews, but what stops a team like this at this point? Is it injuries? Is it off the ice kind of stuff? I mean, what is it that could stop the Blackhawks from this sort of just continuing to roll?
Yeah, I think you said. I think it's injuries. I think you just hope everyone stays healthy. You know, there were some kind of weird circumstances with the loss tonight. I think there's still, like I said in the blog, I kind of made the point that they're a better team than last year. I think they still do have guys that are that capable, so you just hope they stay healthy.
Scott King does Blackhawks Crazy, which is the podcast and blog that you can find at WGNradio.com. He does it with Mike Jacobson. Thanks for coming in, Scott. You got to come in.
Me,
you got to come in more and whenever I have this sort of casual questions about what I should know.
I'm here to inform you, Justin. I will do just that.
I appreciate it, Scott. Thanks
Thank
for
you,
being
man.
Here. Well, that's going to do it tonight for the truncated download. Late night, pretty late with Patty Vasquez coming up next. The Blackhawks lose tonight to the Lightning 2-1. That's a bummer.
What, are you done already?
I know, right? it's a weird feeling. Just do an hour, you know? Like, I mean, some radio stations, an hour is like, oh my God, you got to do an hour. That's like, you get ready like the places I've worked before, you roll up the sleeves, it's gonna be a big hour show. I'm like, an hour, come on. Let's do 8 hours, let's do 6 hours. It's all good though. We'll be back tomorrow. We're doing another hour tomorrow night, 10 to 11. So we'll be back after the Blackhawks play tonight or tomorrow night.
They do.
Going back to who they play tomorrow night.
Panthers and Sunrise.
Panthers,
yeah, it's right outside of Miami.
Well, that's good. That's probably not good. It's probably not good for the team to be in Miami. But
as the Panthers affectionately refer to it as their sixth man.
Yeah, right.
The city of Miami. Come on down, boys.
Where does a hockey team party in Miami? Do they just hit
anywhere?
They hit like the Pitbull Club.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like South Beach.
Yeah, right.
Like Hotel Victor, maybe.
Right, and they've got their cool Ed Hardy shirts on. They gotta roll in.
So what do you guys do? We play hockey.
We play hockey. Dun, 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 dun. I'm trying to think of a Pitbull song. I don't know. That's all I know about Miami music, right? Again, they're not playing Gloria Estefan anymore.
I wouldn't think so.
Yeah, worldwide. All right. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNradio.com. Why don't we get to go on that trip? You know, we should go to when the Hawks go to Miami, the download should do a remote from South Beach.
Yeah, why can't we caucus in South Florida?
Right. We're not asking for much. We could stay on friends' floors.
The bus trip down there is...
The bus trip.
It's a hard one.
It's a hard one. It's a long bus trip.
Yeah.
No, we fly in. We fly in. Pitbull Airlines.